Mickey Hart here, you're listening to the GAA Hour Football Show.
The GAA Hour with Colin Parkinson is sponsored by AIB, proudly backing club and county.
I'm not finished yet, it took me a long time to get here.
Both players have spoken with each other and they regret what happened. They've had a frank discussion with each other and they're both of them are keen to now focus on getting back their county jerseys.
That these fellas will get such a shell shock next Saturday evening that we'll put them back in their asses for 10 years.
Alright, you're welcome along to a special GAA Hour episode. Obviously we're down in Mayo for a live show on Friday night thanks to AIB. This is the second half of the show. First half of the show went out on Facebook Live, so a lot of you will already have seen that. This is the second half of the show, a bit of analysis, a bit of a laugh, and some questions from the crowd at the very end. So here we go, we'll pick it up with James Horan, John Casey and Brendan Venny being introduced to the stage. Anyway. This is the more serious analysis panel, right? So keep it down. These are three of the wisest men in the country when it comes to analysis.
Four.
Thanks, James, for that. I didn't want to say it, but you know.
Woolly, James was talking to me off stage there about stuff I never knew happened in Gaelic football. So I don't know where you're going with
Listen,
the wise.
All bullshit talk at the end of the day. Joe Brawley told me that before. I cornered
and
him on
knows,
something.
He knows stuff.
I had him caught lovely on a contradiction. I says, whatever it was, and he says, you take this way too seriously, Parkinson. It's all bullshit, really. So you can't ever get the better of that man.
The great thing about James Horan spent 4 years as Mayo manager. Nobody could get a word out of him. Now we can't shut him up. Yeah. Fantastic.
He's a huge addition to the pundit
circus. Huge addition to the media circus, yeah.
Anyways, before we start the more serious part of the analysis, John, I wanted to ask you a question about this, because I was, would you believe I won a minor All-Ireland before this game? I don't like to talk about it.
You're watching this.
Yeah, I actually won an All-Ireland final this day, but anyways.
Congrats.
No, but this always, and I got the cheer,
you're
I had
a,
them, and then
a
I lost
crowd teaser, no,
anyways, well, let's just run through this, because let me just talk you through it before. You run at the midfielder
McDermott,
which was a stupid thing to do.
Very stupid.
But then you realise after grabbing him, what am I after doing? And you try to run out. And as you're running out, I'm not sure you even get hit, but you end on the ground.
Have a look closely. At it. Elbow.
Have a look.
McDermott drops it down, but there's a waiting Mees back there to help him.
Here comes John.
Attention!
I'm getting out of here.
Overflowing. My goodness. In front of goal, and that was the sequel, and that's John Casey down there having chipped a knock to the face.
You deserved it for having the collar up, by the way.
I was deaf for four
so what,
months.
So what happened? What happened there?
Well, I made a very bad mistake. No more than pillar trying to shoulder John Morrison. I decided that I didn't like the look of John McDermott, who was having a tussle with Ray Dempsey, I think, at the time. And don't know, emotions got the better of me. I run in, grabbed him around the neck, and I think it was McManus, the centre back from Meath, caught me with a.
No, it was Colm Coyle by the looks of it.
No, McManus. No? Yeah, because we were. Our shop dealt with McManus's family and we cut ties immediately. McManus distributors in Meath, we haven't bought off them since.
Right.
Fact.
Were you 100%? Well, I heard a story pre. You were at college in Letterkenny.
Pardon?
You were at college in Letterkenny. You and Michael McGeehan were out on two bikes, and a water bottle came off the bike, stuck in your tire, and sent you over the handlebars. Yeah. Is that something pre the final everybody knows about?
No, good story, actually. John Mohan, of course, was our manager. His army colleague, Mickey McGeehan, who trained Tipperary last year, trains Conmel Commercials now. Very
he's here
well
as well.
Respected trainer. Is he? Well,
he's
Mickey was given a job to get me fit when I was in college in Letterkenny, because I like to party and have a bit of crack, so Mickey told me when I became good friends with Mickey that Mohan said to him, I want you to take Casey under your wing and screw him.
And what him?
Screw him. As regards training. But Mickey, so Mickey put me on a cycle once anyway, and I was carrying my gear bag home while he's cycling down an all-merciful steep hill in Letterkenny that Brendan would be familiar with. Gearbag got caught in the spokes. And I was in casualty about... I had to be carried. I was in bits. I really, really, really made a mess of myself. But, yeah, there
that
you
explains
go.
It.
Thank you, yeah.
Give him a hug.
Here, you were actually, you were very low profile in that video. Where were you? Were a lover, not a fighter, James. You were too busy swinging four from playover to worry about that kind of shit.
I held off saying anything to. Were you going to play another bit, or that's
no,
it?
That's it.
Okay.
No, there's no footage of you doing anything.
James was like Kofi Annan. He went for the peace talk.
I think
you were just brushing your hair on the wing, pulling up your socks.
Look, regardless of circumstances, it's important to stay composed. Okay? So that's what I was trying to do. But no, I was out there with Paddy Reynolds. I'd say
talking about farming.
Yeah, but that's right. He was a potato farmer, actually. Yeah.
He's got the biggest combine harvester in me.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I found that really interesting, right? But it's funny, I was in McDonald's in Lucan today, just when you mentioned that. I met Mark Riley today. Haven't seen him since the game, I'd say.
Nightmare, I was in college with him.
A chance meeting there.
A chance meeting in Lucan McDonald's, yeah. So he's still the very same.
Did you have a salad? Did you have a salad?
What did you have?
I'd say if I said one or two wrong words, I'd say we'd be back something similar to what was happening there in the States.
What did you have at McDonald's?
What did I have at McDonald's? I had a Diet Coke.
Right.
And I had chicken tenders. Did you ever try the chicken tenders?
No.
They're pretty good.
You don't order a Big Mac at McDonald's, just you've no business going there.
Okay, I was lying. I actually had a Big Mac and cheese. And
some chicken nuggets.
Yeah,
go on. Anyways, listen. Right.
Back to analysis.
Enough nonsense talk. We mentioned it in the last panel, lads, is that all these kind of issues that you have to go through playing Dublin in Croke Park, you know, you've played against them on two occasions, James, in really big games. It's the silence in the hill, you know, was a big one we talked a lot about, which Dublin don't have to go through that. Like, what is the main thing you tried to talk to the lads about, before you came down to play Dublin?
Before you go and play them in a big game?
Yeah.
How to get at them, is it? Or
yeah, well, or, you know, the whole occasion of it, really.
Yeah, well, you go through the occasion, what could happen or what's likely to happen, and, you know, what you're likely to encounter, or what, you know, all the possibilities. You go through all the scenarios and this, that and the other, and you go through the hill or, you know, the noise and how they get behind Dublin and how powerful it could be to quieten them. And, you know, so you go through all those things and then you go about how you would quieten them and what you can do, you know. And, you know, as you saw with Kerry last weekend, there's definitely ways to quieten them, you know, at stages in games. So you just look at what you're strong at and you know, how you can get at, you know, whether it's Dublin or anyone, how you can get at a strong team in Croker and put them back on their heels, rattle them, you know. So I'm sure that's what Mayo will be looking at doing the next day, you know.
Yeah, I think another thing that when we played them, it was avoid goals. You know, we played a sweeper against them one day, and that was back in 2007, so it was a long time ago. But goals for Dublin in Croke Park, like, it's oxygen for them. And not only is it oxygen for them, the stadium comes alive. Like, your head just drops. It's like, oh, my God. The way the stadium rocks. You know, the two goals in the All-Ireland final killed you, and there are times when, you know, you were in the ascendancy, especially the first one. You'd done so much good work in the first, you know, 20 minutes to concede that was just a disaster. And I spoke with Stephen Rochford last week at the press conference, and he said the one thing when he came in over Mayo this year is to try not to concede goals. And it's almost, you look at the plans of the All-Ireland, Mayo would have thought they're going to win Connacht, and there's a chance to play Dublin in the All-Ireland final. And I'd swear, like, this new tactic of his, you know, of avoiding goals is purely with that in mind. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah. You know, we've conceded goals in games that have killed us, that have been hard to come back from. You know, and there were goals, a lot of them against the run of play. Actually, you know, if you think of Bernard Brogan's one in 2013, you know, we were 4 or 5 points up at that stage, and it was just Pather Andrews went to kick the ball, and it was blocked, and it fell to Paul Flynn, and Paul Flynn just drove it in. And, you know, it's that kind of sometimes
there's a lot of luck involved.
Yes, and sometimes there is, and you know, that can sway a game. That can be a momentum changer. You know, and you need to change what you do. But certainly Mayo. Now are changing up what they're doing, which is great. You know, they're trying different players in different positions. You know, harder to predict, harder to do matchups against. You know, and their goals, I think they're, you know, was it last 6-7 last year, have gone down to probably 3 this year, I would say, as regards to goals. So
yeah, but they haven't played Dublin yet, though.
Haven't played Dublin.
Do you know what I mean? So that stat is skewed.
Ah, sure, but you know, Mayo have played a lot of teams this year. You know,
they conceded 5 against Dublin last year in the 2 games.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, 3 of those in in a very short space of time too, you know. So I think Mayo are looking to be defensively solid, probably more defensively solid than they've been, you know, and that tilts the attacking options a little bit as well, you know. So to get the balance right, you have to hit a high score to beat Dublin. No matter how you set up defensively, you have to be, you know, the guys are talking about 15, 16 points or 18.8 with the juror. Very impressive juror, by the way. But, you know, you have to hit a winning score. You know, Pete McGrath talked about it last year. You know, a lot of teams set up against Dublin to contain them or whatever. But if you don't go out to hit a high score, you're not going to beat them anyway. So it's pointless. So it's getting that balance right. And I think Mayo are tweaking that, you know, in every single game that they're playing. And they're pretty much getting it right.
They are tweaking it, Brendan, but like, I mean, the whole thing is the new thing for Mayo is the sweeper. And Kevin McLaughlin's been the sweeper most days, and some people think it's working. My opinion is that I'm not really sure it is working, because in my opinion, sweeper has three jobs: close off space, double up on the man, and attack when you have the ball. McLaughlin is brilliant at attacking when you've got the ball. I'm not sure about his positional sense, and he hardly ever doubles up. So like, he's kind of just floating around in there. What's your take on McLaughlin as the sweeper?
Well, it's a Mayo way, you know. It's they take on teams and try and beat them properly, and you know they've come so close to being the best team in Ireland so many times. And under this man's legacy, you know, think of them days in Crow Park and all the championships, all the Connacht. I'm sure Galway and Ross Common and them would give the right arm for something similar. It depends how you look and what's happening in football. And you talk about sweepers and you talk about systems. Everything is about playing Dublin. Everything changes when you play Dublin at Crow Park. And I think to get that mix right, for me, I think it's all about the second half. And if I was Mayo, I would play two different halves, because you look at how Kerry showed their hand and showed what they could do in the first game. They got their couple of goals. You can sure when Dublin were marching off a pitch at halftime, they were happy. They didn't mind being 6 or 7 down. They knew they rejig, they refocus and come back. So I think for Mayo, you know, for whatever about sweepers, as James says, it's the attack, I think, on their matchups. You know, likes of Keegan, Boyle, you know, Boyle and McManaman, Keegan and Connolly. They're the two danger men. The big thing for me is freeze, you know. You think, yeah. Tyrone, I think 50% of the scores against Mayo were freeze, 60% feet tip. You know, you can't give Rock them chances. So not foul. The tenacity of attack, then, that you've seen, particularly against Tyrone, that excited me. That got me in the edge of the seat a bit, you know. That's what we want to see from Mayo. They're never going to be that solid. They're never going to be like a bloody boring Ulster team solid. We don't really want to see that. I hope they go. We don't anyway, because I'm sick of seeing it. But that ability, that pace and the power, Mayo have that. Other teams don't have it. Kerry don't have it.
Yeah.
Kerry are carrying about 4 or 5 players for me. And when you get into Crow Park, you're going to get showed up. So when you think of even the likes of our own lads, we were absolutely brutal against Dublin. Our tactics were 100% wrong. Our in-game management was horrible. Our matchups was terrible. My mother could have lined up the team better. Honest to God, I'm not even
joking. She's a great football brain, though.
She knows her football. She knows more of me. But what I'm saying is, even in that, Donegal at times in that game, you thought, yeah, we could creep back into this. We could come back. And it was absolutely shocking. So Dublin are far from unbeatable, you know. And certainly someone that with Mayo's pace and power could take that game to them.
I wouldn't necessarily agree with you, Woolley, there. I think Kevin McLaughlin has started to work. It was a bit of a mess against Galway in the Connacht Championship, all right. Against Fermanagh, much better. And I think something that Rochford James alluded to with there, you know, he's tried different things tactically. I think he accounted for, or pretty much planned, of having a Dublin or a Kerry. I think Kevin McLaughlin playing as a sweeper all year against the so-called weaker teams was specifically for Dublin All-Ireland Final. Barry Moran played back there against Tipperary on Quinlivan, Conor Sweeney, specifically if it was Kerry in an All-Ireland Final. So I think, you know, McLaughlin, he got man of the match in the Fermanagh match. He played very well, I thought, against Tyrone. I think he's getting better. He was terrible against Galway closing off that space. You mentioned great foot passer.
The Tyrone game was a unique game now. I wouldn't even judge him as a sweeper in that game.
Yeah, but I just think that they've been planning this since day dot for Dublin All-Ireland Final Day.
Yeah, no, I'd agree. But another thing about McLaughlin playing as a sweeper, and this is the thing, you're kind of screwed when you play Dublin, because you play a sweeper against Dublin because you need to. The knock-on effect of you playing that sweeper is giving them Keane O'Sullivan. So now Keane O'Sullivan can double up on Aidan O'Shea, and he's big, strong and physical. So you're losing. If you don't score goals against Dublin, forget about it. So, but if you don't play a sweeper against them, you know, you could concede goals. So you're kind of caught on both ends, that leaving Keane O'Sullivan free is reducing your chances massively of getting the 2 or 3 goals, and you do need 2 or 3, James, you know, to be beating them.
Yeah, playing a sweeper against Dublin is risky. you know, there's an awful lot of talk about Sweeper, and the classic Sweeper is, you know, people have this image of him sitting in front of the back two or back three or whatever it is and cutting out balls or being there for the breaking balls or whatever it is. If you do that against Dublin, I would say it won't be Keane O'Sullivan that'll be free the next day. You know, I think he'll be taken up, but I think James McCarthy would be free, which is worse again. So yeah, you're going to have a free Dublin player coming at you. So the amount of attacks that Dublin will have will increase if you play Sweeper. So, you know, you got to weigh that up. Do you want more Dublin attacks coming at you, or do you want, you know, a player that's high? So Dublin, James McCarthy attacks this side. So if Kevin McLaughlin this side, say, wing forward, do you want him so he can cut back to get ahead of it? You know, so it's how you play that role. If you sit the guy back there all the time waiting for a team like Dublin, particularly Dublin, to come at you, then it's crazy. Whereas if you have Kevin, say, if he's to cut defensively early on opposition attacks, have him out here where he can be of benefit when Mayo are attacking, you know, so they can be a support option. So that's what I think Mayo need to make sure they get right. If you sit him back there and Dublin have an extra player, it's curtains. It's curtains for me.
You're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't, with that. Is there an argument to say that you kind of you played a Sweeper the first 10 minutes because, you know, Dublin, you know, tried to blow you away. Then for the second 10 minutes of the first half, let a message go in. Here's our power play. Let's everybody man up. And in that 10 minutes, the mission is to get, you know what I mean, to get a goal and then go back and keep Dublin kind of guessing. Because if you go with a Sweeper all the time, Keane O'Sullivan gets very comfortable. You know, he's relaxed. He knows his job. But if McLaughlin all of a sudden was up running around the half-forward line, you know, suddenly he's guessing, you know, I'm not free now. Who's free?
The 10-minute thing, I appreciate that. I still think it, if like so much comes from Cluxton and Dublin's ability to win possession and attack from there. But if you did it first half, if you let him have the attack and sat deep, and second half everybody squeezed up and put the pressure on the kickouts, as you've seen, and get him cracking a bit and get the full back cracking, like I would nearly keep that tactic of press the second half, because we know first half, you know, it doesn't matter what kind of lead you're in, it can be pegged back and you can change your tactics. It's very hard second half to turn things around.
Yeah, no, it's true. And John, the thing about the Cluxton kickouts, and Brendan just brought it up there, the Kerry thing was brilliant. Like, I've never seen a drama like that before. Great, like, it was 7 minutes of madness. Cluxton had a meltdown. It was just beautiful to watch.
it gave everyone hope, really, didn't it? If Cluxton had been an outfield player, he would have most definitely got the curly finger and substituted. I mean, he had a hellish...
Well, Cluxton has a temper, and I don't think... And for maybe 10 minutes before
you
that...
You could nearly see the horns growing there after he kicked when he kicked the sideline, or the kick out after the goal, over the line, you could see it slowly but surely deteriorating. Yeah.
He's easily rattled, and Kieran Donaghy was in a bit of shoulder and nonsense with Donaghy, and Donaghy was mouthing at him, and this was 10 minutes before the meltdown, so this fellow was already cross because he doesn't like that kind of stuff.
It's key for Mayo to have Cluxton to have an off day, because if he gets the support of, we'll say, the Hill or the Dubs or the Fanatic Dubs, and he starts doing things well, he will grow in confidence. You can see what happened to him, what Kerry done to him. They rattled him, they let him know about it, and he all of a sudden became a bit of a mess. I'd say if half-time came, James, if you were probably Dublin manager, he's an outfield player, he goes off the field, because he's literally cost his team two goals and he's losing them, the run of himself. So that's the question Mayo have to decide. Are they going to stick? I mean, Andy Moran, going back to him playing full forward, I expect him to be playing full forward the next day, but I mean, be no harm sticking Mr. O'Shea in there on the edge of the square. And even though Mr. Keane O'Sullivan or James McCarthy may be sweeping back there, they don't have Rory O'Carroll anymore. He was the man for dealing with the high balls. They don't have him anymore. They're a little bit vulnerable. I was at the Laois and Dublin game, round one of the championship in Nolan Park. Kingston played havoc in the second half. Mark Timmins, an Attride, coming at from deep. Kingston flicking on ball, and Dublin were at sixes and sevens. If you keep the ball going in low, the likes of Johnny Cooper showed you how capable he was. But, I mean, if Cluxton is vulnerable, let's try it for the first 5 minutes and see how he reacts. And if he is a nightmare, it's a great day for Mayo.
Yeah. The thing about Cluxton as well is that I met Mark O'Shea down in the tunnel outside the dressing room, and he says, Mark, what the hell was going on? Like, you put no pressure in the second half. And he says, we didn't get enough frees. The pressure they were able to put in the first half came from a Gooch free.
Yeah.
So they knew it was going to be a dead ball over the bar. So the whole team had time to push up and get into this real offensive position. He said in normal time, Cluxton comes out and restarts it so quick. You can't get up to do that. Do you know what I mean? So Killian will have frees. You know what I mean? Yeah. Killian always has frees in the game. So for those frees, Mayo have that opportunity to get up there, get in his face. And look, listen, there's no shame in copying what Kerry did, because like it worked.
Yeah, you know, Cluxton, I think the average is under 7 seconds. His kick out is in the air.
Yeah,
within 7 seconds of the ball going dead. You know, so if you think about that, if say Mayo are attacking and they kick the ball wide from open play, it's very hard to get a full press organized. You know, because you need people need to know where they're going. Yeah. So if you have Lee Keegan up attacking, so he's down. So who goes back into his place and who goes here? So it's very hard to do that all the time. Whereas if say Killian has a free, as you saw with Gooch's free towards the end of the first half of the last day. You're already set up before the free is taken.
Yeah.
So you're in position, you know where you need to be, you know who you're taking, so that all it is, and you saw when Gooch took that free, he ran straight out back into a position at the corner forward position, so everyone's set. So you can be set for a set play for a kick out that way, you know. And I would suspect that's what you'll see Mayo doing. I think you'll see them full press. I think you'll see them sort of zonal. I think you'll see them doing a 5v6, so that every time, you know, Stephen looks up, there's different options for him that Mayo will try and influence. You know, so they might offer up Johnny Cooper or offer up, Philly.
To take
the ball. But the next time, they might offer up Philly a little bit, but they'll push right open and the next time, so when Stephen gets... You know, so it's all that kind of stuff will be going on. He'll be trying to suss it out as the game
sometimes
goes on.
Sometimes it's nearly better is to... Because Cluxton's so bloody good at the kickouts, if you're not in position, let him go to the cornerback. It takes a lot of energy for them then to work it down the field. Because if you try to do a half-hearted push-up, he'll go to midfield and suddenly you're completely out of position. You know, so
I've never seen Dublin having a problem with energy, though.
I hate attacking cornerbacks. I think they're a blight on the game. I think they should be banned. Seriously. Stay in your bloody corner. You're ruining the shape of a game. You're running up. The good corner forward like the Gooch or Killian has to follow you. They're out of position. They're tired. It's the absolute scourge on the game. Johnny Cooper, Philly McMahon. Any attacking cornerback should be banned. But having said that, they are a huge threat, the two lads are. And Mayo need to have a serious plan, because do you want Killian... When Johnny Cooper wins a ball out in front of you, he doesn't win the ball and give it off. He continues his run right to the full forward line. You know, and do you really want Killian O'Connor chasing him down there?
Yeah. That's the whole problem with that system and with Croke Park and with Dublin. You know, if you look at teams down through the years, you look at my own province, for example, Armagh dominated Ulster more than Tyrone dominated back when I was playing, but Armagh won All-Ireland and Tyrone of three.
Yeah.
Simple reason, Croke Park. Fast players, speed. That's why they won three All-Irelands. Armagh in Clonus, you couldn't beat them. It just was that different pitch. And you think about trying to track those players up and down. I think you just have to go with them, because you cannot take the chance.
Ah, it's terrible.
Now, depending on how fast he goes, now if he's away off like
you're a corner forward. I'm surprised you said that. I'll let him off.
If the ball ends up in the net, you're like, right, I'm running up and down for 10 months training and may go after him to hell. But you're right, if you end up back there, you're a wee bit lost depending on the type of player. But that's the way the game's gone, Willie. You need to be able to take the ball in the half-back lane and use it. You know, a few times if I got dragged back there and I was playing it, I didn't know where I was for a while, you know. I needed to be within 10 yards of the goal to make sure
But there isn't any corner forward that has played against Dublin that hasn't ended up as cornerback at some stage, or even for long periods of the game. But it is your nightmare. I know James, who wasn't particularly fond of training, would have dreaded...
I didn't mind training. I was training under John Mahan. just to clear, right?
Okay. But yeah, it is...
Old army-style training,
I'm only joking, John.
It is a nightmare scenario, really, for having your good players, your scorers, using all that energy up. I wouldn't be one to play now.
I mean, Neil McGee was a master at it.
I saw...
I mean, he was a torture. I mean, every player... I mean, when Donegal used to play McManus, for me, I think he's probably one of the best in Ireland. Like, the amount of times he would have him back... What could he do? You had to go with him.
Jamie Clark one day, I felt sorry for him. It was Donegal, Armagh, the All-Ireland quarter-final. And I was on the sideline in my previous job. Won't mention who they are. But anyways, Jamie Clark kept running up the field after Neil McGee. And I was like, Jesus, Jamie. Like, he's like puffing and panting on the Donegal half-back line. And he can't get back down.
Yeah.
And when he gets back down, gets a bit of energy, McGee takes off again. And it's like, jeez. And it's the same. Conor McManus was actually in the full-back line marking Paddy McGrath with Donegal. Isn't it a joke? These attacking full backs should not be allowed. James, I'd love your thoughts on it.
I won't bother my arse answering that one.
Pass him on.
I know, it's funny. With Johnny Cooper, the first ball that went in the last one, Kieran Dunne was in there. Johnny Cooper was intent on winning the ball and absolutely screwing Dunne over. He knows he's the legs on Dunne. He knows everything. And he was just going regardless. You know, and putting it up to Dunne to see, you know, you shouldn't be on here, old man. You don't have the legs. I'm going to burn you every single day. And that, you know, there's a lot of that in it as well. You're trying to burn up a guy.
Yeah, tactically, you say, look, I'm obviously joking with you're not going to ban attacking cornerbacks. But tactically, as a manager, should be like, when Cooper goes, I don't want you to follow him. So, lads, when he gets out around midfield, it's your responsibility. We don't want to tire Killian out. It's like, we don't want him back there.
A lot of guys, you know, passing it on is what they call it. You know, so you have lines and lines. So if Johnny Cooper goes, you know, if it all depends how you've set up. If you have one or two extra around the middle that, you know, Killian or whoever, say, will be inside, will know that they'll chase him down for the initial 15.
For a while, yeah.
For 15. If they can get a hand on him or contact and make him turn, job done. You know, if they can't get to him, he's gone early on them. Well, then there should be an extra man to pick him up. So you're passing on to the line. So that's typically the way you'd sort of look at it.
Yeah, so if Killian's in the full-back line after chasing Cooper, something's gone wrong. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
something's not right.
But sometimes if you can't see it, you've got to go till you see something else to another option.
Until you can pawn him off on somebody else.
You're a man! When you see corner forwards doing that, you know they're
You see a lot of that finger pointing actually in matches. You see corner forwards trying to point at the corner back and go, but... Yeah, you don't.
But when you think about that, boy, I mean, Gooch, the legs was gone. Donny, the legs was gone. And Geary, like a couple of years ago, Geary was just one of the Dublin or one of the Kerry full forwards with Donoghue, with Gooch, or whoever was inside. Now Geary is he's a brilliant, brilliant player. Top class. But he's suddenly become this complete man for Kerry because he's the only player who's going to score from play. So when you think if Dublin were breaking out, it was up to Gooch and Donoghue. Let's just say to track them guys. Yeah. They're not going to do that. That's going to hurt the team all the way down. Whereas I don't think that's an issue for Mayo.
Yeah, that's another thing. Is Andy Moran obviously has been a revelation. Like I interviewed him on the podcast, and he was saying, "I wasn't getting a game earlier on in the year." He's very honest. He's a great interviewee. I wasn't good enough. Wasn't playing well enough. But I got my chance against Kildare, and it's worked. And for a fellow who wasn't on the team to become such a central, like almost vital, most important player, that when they look up, they see him all the time. As I think sometimes they actually give it to him too much, you know, and force that kick instead of just going through the hands. But it's obvious that they're trying to become more of a kicking team, and that's what's in their heads. But they don't always have to give it to Andy when he breaks.
Yeah, but the thing about Andy is, sure, he's woven into the fabric of everything to do with Mayo football and that team. He's a huge character in there.
He's infectious, isn't he?
Andy, he's such a positive guy and phenomenal guy and works so hard to be in the shape that he's in the best shape of his life, which is great. But the way Andy plays, he's so clever that he's thinking a little bit quicker than everyone else. So his runs are very, very early. He makes runs very early. So that is the effect that the guys are on the middle of the field, say in the middle third, that every time they get the ball, you know, you're always sort of coached to look up before you do any play, so you see what the best option is. And when they look up, Andy's gone. He's probably even on a second run. So he's run in to lose his man and he's running out. So that's why he gets so much ball, you know. So if he's getting a lot of ball, you just need to make sure that your Jermids or your Jason Docks or whoever the wing forwards can get close enough, quick enough to take that pop off. Because Andy isn't really going to, you know, sell a dummy solo and lose a man for speed, you know. So he's going to win it, but he needs someone coming on the shoulder very early.
Yeah,
you know?
And the great thing about him breaking out is that he might actually occupy O'Sullivan and drag him a bit with him. And then if Aidan O'Shea, for example, is in there, that ball is on suddenly and he's one-on-one with someone he can take advantage of.
He's very sensible with the ball as well. Very, very clever. Like, he seems to make the same run. I watch him lots of off the ball and he shimmies to the left and then he comes out to the right-hand side. The long ball has been working a treat into that corner that the Davin and Cusick stand from. He's winning lots of ball in there. But when you mentioned the runners there coming from deep, if they're not coming, the great thing about Andy is he won't panic. He'll slow it down and he'll wait for something to come and happen. And he's been literally, he's turned me all season over, really, since he's come back in.
Completely, isn't he?
Absolutely, and like this,
What about Mayo's form, lads? Because, like, I mean, this chat is about Mayo. Because, like, I mean, you find it difficult to find talking points about Dublin because they're so good. And, you know how they're going to set up and it's a matter of, this is what we're doing, you know what we're doing, come and beat us. But Mayo's form, lads, it's bloody patchy.
The penalty gate thing with Aidan O'Shea out here, I think, turned Mayo's season.
It didn't turn it, though, John, because they're wishy-washy against...
Don't get me wrong, they've limped into an All-Ireland final for the first time ever, playing in 10-minute spells. I mean, they threw away Leeds against Westmeath, against Tipperary, fall asleep. I think they can be given somewhat for the Tipperary thing because they were thinking the Tyrone, the Westmeath one, and they can be forgiven for that one. But I think as a unit, what happened with the abuse that Aidan O'Shea received maybe galvanised them a little bit, and they didn't care about being everybody's second favourite team. They cared about themselves. And I mean, if you want to ask me, do I think that was a penalty or not, that famous incident when he collided, I don't think it was a penalty, but I don't think he dived. Because I watched footage and footage and footage of it, and I think there was a leg collision in it.
Well, hang on a minute now.
I'll argue to the moon and back with you.
That's a clear contradiction there.
Why did you bring it up?
Explain it.
Have you not dealt with him before?
Yeah. No,
you're not getting away with something like that.
There was a guy that told me that one, he guaranteed
it
me...
It wasn't a penalty. Let's break this down.
Yes.
It wasn't a penalty.
No.
Why wasn't it a penalty?
Yeah. Because they accidentally collided legs and it knocked Aidan O'Shea to the ground. There was no intent by Che Cullen, the Fermanagh fullback.
Okay, well, I'd agree with that, but I didn't see any of the contact that you're talking about.
Legs crossed. You know, if you're running, it's nearly like if somebody flicked the back of your leg when you're just taking off.
Yeah, but I think that happened off camera. Like, I spoke with Aidan about this on the show as well. We get all the big names on the GAA hour. We're talking to Aidan as well. And Aidan said there was contact. But to be fair, Aidan, there was no evidence on camera that there was any of that contact.
Yeah. Well, James,
I just don't believe this.
James is wondering what he's going to have in McDonald's next time he's in it. That's all. But I just think as a unit, it just set the lads, you know, look at here, it's the world against us, and let's...
Wasn't that Fermanagh nearly beat you, no?
It was. I mean, if that game had been above an Enniskillen, I think Mayo could have been in real trouble. We got lucky in the qualifier draws. We got two home games. Fermanagh away would have been a very tricky affair, I think. So, you know, somebody was smiling on us to give us, you know, the team was very, very erratic after the Galway performance, and it just took a home game against the likes of Fermanagh to test them. And look at here, we found, as mentioned, 10-minute spells were in an All-Ireland final.
Yeah, because if you want to look at it positively, James, you'll say, right, they played against Westmeath, a very defensive team, and scored 2-10 in the first half. Job done. We're moving on, and they fell apart in the second half. Against Tipperary, they played for about 10 minutes before half-time.
Yeah.
Job done. You know, switch off. Against Kildare, they were outstanding for a bit longer in the first half, maybe 20 minutes in the first half. Game over, job done. So if you want to be positive, you'd say, right, they're switching off, the job's done, weaker opposition, you know. But if you want to be negative about it, you say, they're not bloody playing well enough for long enough to be able to beat Dublin.
Sure, and, you know, it's Dublin they're playing. If you take Dublin over the last 5 years, how many, you know, they've beaten teams by 20, 30 points consistently. You know, have they turned off in those games?
Now they turned off against Leash. They do it as well.
Hold on. No, over the last 5 years, you take it consistently over the last 5 years. You know, they've been playing teams that they've been beaten. You know, they've won it after 10 minutes. The game has been over. But what they do is they keep going. They keep trying to, you know, it's a performance-based system as opposed to just a result. They worry about a result. So they're trying to play as well as they can for as long as they can for the game. You know, I accept this year, Leash, even against Donegal.
Westmeath in the first half.
It does happen
that you don't perform.
But Mayo, you don't intentionally go out just to win by a few points. You go out to play as well as you can. There's a lot of things. There's a new management team. There's new players in there. They've tried, you know, from Evan Regan to Conor Loftus to Conor O'Shea to Patrick Durkin. You know, Andy going in there. There's been changes. Kevin Kane has come in and out. You know, there's been a lot of in and out and trying different things. So that sometimes if you're used to playing a certain way and you try something new, it takes an awful, you know, it takes a long time for that to come through. And as John says, Mayo got a good draw in the qualifiers. Like against Galway, make no mistake about it, they're absolutely terrible. You know, I said it straight out. I was watching the game, I was with Sky in the game. They're great to watch. Great analysis on Sky, actually.
The pundits are great.
Yeah.
Brian Kearney'd have you in a grave, though.
he has...
But hey, you're not going to get...
Peter, you have some half-back line analysis that we...
He's got, it's high, it's over the bar.
You're not going to get on Sky. You're
He's
not
got
going
wonderful
get,
hair, Woolly. Brian Kearney.
Well, you're not going to get sitting inside the race dressed like that, man. You've got to put on the... You know, you got to sort it out, so... But what was I saying?
Something about Rachel Wise.
I'll tell her you were asking for it. But it's going out of games
and how to...
Yeah, against Galway, Mayo were terrible. And I disagree with John about that incident that he was talking about. I won't even mention what it was. But I think the Galway game, Mayo were so poor. And, you know, I said it at the time and I got hammered for it. I thought Galway were a poor team. And they still bet Mayo. Mayo had no kick in them. So I think that game just said, you know, I can only imagine the players in the dressing room after that. that this is bullshit. Unless we sort this, we're going to be a laughing stock, particularly after, you know, what happened in previous years and that kind of stuff. So that, to me, hold on, boys, serious stuff. Now, they got the good draws and away they went. But back to your point, it has been for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, where they've been absolutely exceptional. And I think they've tried a few different things in those games. I think you're seeing a sort of a holding period. You know that 10 minutes you were talking about, you know, where they get 5 or 6 points up. Particularly here against Kildare, mm-hmm. I think it's the first time I really saw it. You definitely saw a definite formation taking shape when Mayo went into a good lead to try and hold and be a possession-based game, which is something you're trying to develop for later on in the season, I would say, in case, you know, if you're five up with five to go, what are you going to do, all that kind of stuff. So there was a lot of that kind of stuff going on in those games, which is good, which can be high risk, you know, because if you think of the Westmeath game, the amount of chances Westmeath had in the second half.
Yeah, it's high risk.
That was out of control. Make no mistake, that was out of control.
Their brains were scrambling in that second half.
They were. So it's been on the edge, but it's worked.
Yeah.
And they're in an All-Ireland final now with a lot of different things and different options. And you're just looking for, you know, 15 minutes to become even 40 minutes. And then hold on. And then you never know what can happen.
Yeah. Right. Prediction. So, lads, you're after... You have me on Mayo's side after that little speech there, James. I was on the borderline there. Well, we'll start with you, John, that far side.
Well, it's going to take an exceptional performance. I'm not going to lie. I think everybody knows that. I think you'll need, you know, the Jeremy O'Connor that produced out here against Kildare. You're going to need the Aidan O'Shea that played against Tyrone. You're going to need the Keith Higgins against Tipperary. You're going to need the David Clark that played against Tyrone. Mayo give a 9 out of 10 performance, Wally, and the All-Ireland final. They're still not guaranteed to win the game. That's how good Dublin are. You mentioned there about not conceding goals. Dublin have hit 22 points, I think, again, won two games without scoring goals against Meath and Kerry, if I'm not mistaken. Crucial not to concede goals. I think Mayo need to play really well to win.
Okay.
Do I think they'll win? I'm not going to answer on that.
You'll have to answer if you want to get paid.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do here. This is something you took part in last year, right? And here's Brendan Devaney sitting beside me as well. You know this prediction thing we done last year for the Irish Flooring Company?
You do a lot of that kind of stuff.
But anyway,
this might have been the only one you did.
Brendan has his prediction for a final at Tyrone-Dublin, winner Dublin. Now, bear in mind there's loot involved in this, and it was done in February, I think, was it? All-Ireland final, John Casey. Mayo Dublin 2016 winner Dublin.
Okay.
But I hope I'm wrong, obviously.
Okay. But that's your prediction. Okay, so you're sticking with Dublin, right? That's your prediction.
I think
back
it's going
then.
To take an exceptional performance to beat Dublin. And okay. Mayo need to play for 65 minutes.
All right. Well, fair play. You could have played to the crowd there.
Exactly. Well, I don't want to do that. I want to be a realist.
Okay. Good man. Brendan, what do you think?
Yeah, listen, I think we all think the same thing. I mean, fuck Dublin, if you ask me. I'm the champion and underdog. I love the. You're on about the favourite second team. Well, listen, if that's what it is, then that's what it is. But we, all those Donegal people, rooting for Mayo. What I was talking to you earlier, they've got the power and the pace to match Dublin, and we didn't, and neither did Kerry. So if they can match that power and pace, and things fall right for them. Do you know what I mean? I hope I'm back here, what, Monday week, and we'll get some fucking party on.
Forever the crowd pleaser.
I'll be here.
Be real now, James.
We need some expletives here, James. Just
here. I'm going to be steady, you know that. It's a great one. It is. You've Dublin are going for their place as the greatest team of all time. They are, you know. In their minds, for me, this should be their fourth All-Ireland in a row. They still think they just tripped up against you guys. This should be their fourth All-Ireland that they should be going for. They have four leagues, one in a row. They had a build-up to Kerry, the greatest rivalry of all time. So Dublin are up there. Their minds are up there. Their heads are up there. They're a brilliant team. I love watching them. But there's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of stuff going on for them. I know Jim is process based and all that kind of stuff, but they're looking for glory.
Big doubt about McCarthy as well. But
yeah, McCarthy. I think Paul Flynn is injured as well. I know Dean Rock was a little sore going into the game as well the last day. So, you know, and Rory O'Carroll and Jack McCaffrey. I still think they'll miss them. I think Mayo will put in amazing intensity on them. You know, if you think of Tipperary the last day, all in any interview you heard the 10 days before, it was about intensity. And Tipperary went out and hurled. And they just bet Kilkenny all over the field. So it's Mayo need to look at it the right way. What are they strong at? Give it absolutely everything they have. Go at where they can get at Dublin. And I think it'll be awful close. I really do. I think it'll be very, very close. But I think, you know, Dublin, with all their success, might just be a little bit blunted in the last couple of minutes, and Mayo to see it through in the last few minutes.
Get in there. And for what it's worth, just not because we're down in Mayo, I think there's a classic ambush coming on. I think that, like, there's a Portugal in the Euros about Mayo this year. Like, I mean, I really, really do. Yeah. They're grinding out results. They're not the Flash Harry team that they were under JM, you know, playing unbelievable football. There's a... No, okay, no, sorry, no, sorry. Flash Harry was before James, right? Sorry. No, but they're not the high-scoring, unbelievable team. You know, there's something about them. They're not playing brilliant, but there is something about them. There's been a bit of controversy about them, which never there before. Yeah. They're getting over that. There's a siege mentality about them, which we've never had about Mayo before. Maybe it's Tony McEntee's doing, I don't know. But there is. There's like Mayo against the world type thing. And like I said, they're not everyone's favourite second team. Well, they are, but they're just flying under the radar, and there's an ambush coming, and it's coming on Sunday week, and so I'm going to go for Mayo as well. No, I'm sticking to that. Anyways, listen, we're going to let you have a break. Give the lads a round of applause. We'll be back for questions from the audience. All right, everyone. Listen, we're going to... Last section of the show is where you get to ask the lads a few questions. And the prize for the best question is a night in Dublin the night before the All-Ireland. So if you're lucky enough to have tickets, we'll put you up the night before. So it's for two people. If you have a girlfriend, that's great. If you don't, get on Tinder and get yourself a date for the night. We have Conan down there in the audience. Conan, do you have a question?
Yes, hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Can you understand me? No.
Not really, no.
Every tweet I get on the podcast is, what the hell is that lad saying? Lucky. I've got Marianne here with a good question for James.
Hi, James.
Woo! Hi, James.
I have a very, very, very serious question. Where is...
Are we on a sex line here or something?
I'm very serious about winning.
Can we turn on the lads' mics here?
Where is your cap?
Well, I'm actually...
Where do you leave your cap at night?
I'm actually very glad you asked that question.
Thank you.
We did a little bit of homework on James's hats, and we went through the evolution of his hats, and there's a bit of analysis to be done with this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In 2010, you went with a Yankees number, James. Can you explain why you went with the Yankees number? Or...
The kids bought me that downtown, so...
That was it?
That was it.
No deal, no big money from the Yankees or anything.
It's hard to get a deal with the Yankees, you know, from Castlebar, but anyway.
2011, then you went with the Nike. You abandoned the no big money coming in from Nike.
No, myself and Tiger, yeah.
We had a chance meeting with the Nike rep.
Yeah.
2012.
Back.
Is that the same hat?
No, I think you've moved the wrong way, Mikey. 2012, you went Puma. Yeah, we know that. You went gangster. You went kind of to the side. I think you might actually be taking that off. But
I
look,
hope you have him with a McDonald's hat, Wooly.
Yeah.
2013, Angry James Horn with a Nike as well.
What game was that from? Jeez.
Anyway. 2013. Then 2014, you went as a company man. You went with the Elveries.
Yeah. After 3 years of...
So you finally got a few
years
quid.
Of begging them, yeah.
You find it... Well, what, like,
that was the nicest hat. That was my favourite.
You have a full head of hair, so what was the story with the hat?
Just like the hat.
Just cool.
Yeah. Just like the hat. No, you know when you pull it down, you just have a couple of moments...
Like a poker player.
A couple of moments quiet in there, you know?
Okay, Colin, next one.
Yes, I've got Chris with another question for James.
James, what was the straw that broke the camel's back with Conor Mortimer?
Oh, that's a great question.
Someone's going for the prize.
I think we'll just stop this now. Congratulations.
Did you not read the statement? The family statement. Anyway. Look, everyone, when I became manager, let's go all general on this, right? Because it's safer.
No. Answer the question.
Everyone, you know, we had a team in there and everyone was expected. And
but I Connor Mortimer specifically, James.
I'm getting to it. How long is the show left? I can run it down, you know. But basically, look, there was a team and we were trying to go a certain way and do a certain thing. And it was difficult for some players and some people. No question about it. You know, the few players were dropped off the panel. Few players were brought onto the panel. Few players that were starters were not starters anymore. And we were trying to get something great going, which we did. And Connor decided that he wanted to leave the panel. You know, that was it.
Oh, okay.
It's as simple as that.
Well, no, it's not as simple as
it
that.
Is as no, simple
no.
As that.
Well, I, okay.
It
well,
is,
I, no, but I'll ask you a question.
Trust me,
right?
It is.
Did you? My impression of looking on that from the outside is you had your mind made up on Conor Mortimer before you got in there, and you wanted to change the perception of Mayo because he had a few good games during the league that year, James, and then the next day he's dropped off the team. So you know what I mean? That happened to me before when I knew a manager didn't really fancy me. Do you know what I mean? So you can see.
I can't imagine why you wouldn't fancy me.
Don't try to turn this around on me.
I'm going to go after you now.
Don't get him started and Mikko Dwyer.
Yeah. Mikko was a great manager, though.
Well, he was.
Do you get what I'm saying, though?
Yeah, that's not the case. That's not. You're right about a lot of things, Willie, but you're not right about that one.
No, I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah, I'm not saying I'm right or wrong. As I said, everyone in Connor played a couple of games and played well. And we were trying to improve. We were trying to change the way Mayo played and what were the key fundamentals and principles of a team. And as I said, Connor decided that he wasn't going to be part of the panel.
Okay, he didn't work hard enough maybe for what you wanted.
It was Connor's decision.
Okay, brilliant question, by the way. Go on, I love seeing James under that kind of pressure. Yeah. Who's next, Connor?
Ah, shit, I'm under pressure. I've got a question for everyone. If you were going to transfer one player from outside of Mayo into Mayo, who would it be?
Well, I'll just stop you there and say keep those kind of questions for Hogan Stand message board. Next question.
Good on you,
buddy. Next question.
All right, I've got David with a question for Colin Parkinson here.
I've been mad to ask this, Colin. So I heard you're good mates with Stephen Cluxton. What's he really like?
He's a bollocks. No, honest to God, I'll tell you quickly about Stephen Cluxton. He's an odd sort of a character, and I found that out pretty quickly when I joined Parnell's. Me and him got on well initially, but I soon realised we were getting on really well because I was making all the effort. And then one night I realised, okay, well, I'm going to stop making an effort. And we never spoke at all that night. So then the next night I didn't make an effort and we never spoke. And I'm like, geez, he's a weird fella. Like, I have to actually do all the running with him. Like, you know yourself.
He's hormonal.
But I tell you, there's a myth about Stephen Cluxton in that he's this brilliant club man for Parnells and everything like this. And my experience with Cluxton was that he wasn't at all. We had a championship game against Kilmacud Crokes when I was at Parnells. Ray, I think you could have been playing. And the week before, we had a challenge game. We played Kilmacud on the Thursday, the week before on the Friday. We had a really important challenge game just before a championship game. Cluxton went off playing five-a-side with his friends. They didn't even show up for the match. So, like, I mean, people don't even understand. Weird. He wanted to play in the forwards, and when he wasn't picked in the forwards, he got the hump and wouldn't show up. Like, he's a really odd character. That's all I'm saying. Maybe not a bollocks.
He drinks blue wicket.
He drinks blue wicket. That's he does. He drinks blue. If Dublin win the All-Ireland, he'll be drinking blue wicket. If that's not motivation enough. For Mayo. Anything else, Colin?
Yes, I've got Joe here.
This is for James. After what happened in Limerick in 2014, if Cormac Riley was to walk in this door now, what would you do, or more importantly, what would you say to him?
Sure, I wouldn't get as far as him with you guys here. but for me, on a serious note, it's never about refs. But that's the way I've always looked at it. You know, we had opportunity, and I talked to Lee about it as well. I don't know if you remember, Lee was going through later on in that with a good goal chance. You know, just went away from him. You know, so we had opportunities to win the game. Of course, we got shite decisions against us. Absolutely, 100%. I'm not saying, but we still had opportunities to win the game that we didn't take. So you work on what you can control, not what a ref does.
It must be very difficult in Eamon Fitzmaurice, you know, with Gough having such close ties with Dublin, and there was one or two decisions went against them. If you come out and you say something about the referee, you're a sore loser. And if you have to say nothing, but it must be an incredibly difficult thing to do.
You don't want me to feel sorry for Kerry and Owen refs. Right? is that where you're going?
That's fair enough. One more question, Colin, before we wrap it up.
Sinead's got a question for somebody who isn't James.
As you know, we're not playing Kerry, Tyrone, Donegal next Sunday week. It's big powerhouse Dublin, Coy Bibb.
You don't say.
I'm wondering if the panel can sing. It's a tactical question.
Sorry, yeah. How is that a tactical question?
Well, it's Dublin we're playing against, and they're very loud, as anyone knows that has been in there over the last few years, and we get lost. So I'm just wondering if the panel could start us off with a little chant.
Oh,
for Mayo.
Okay, right. actually, Brendan Devaney is a very good, skilled rapper. Go on, Brendan. You might see us out with it. See us
have you
out
got something
it.
For me to rap?
Well,
give it. Give us a rap.
You're an Ulster man, so you might know the tune.
I'm an Ulster man, all right, hey. I will tell you this. I will say no to your request.
Well, stand up for the Mayo men. That's what I'm trying to do.
They're in my family, Jesus.
I tell you what, you're clearly dying to sing a song. So just sing the green and red of Mayo. Mikey'll play it, and we'll all have a great night.
I can't sing that one. I'm running a little campaign that happened by accident through Mayo GA blog, and I'm trying to get Mayo supporters to get behind the team because I actually think we failed them in 2013. So I'm just trying to get people to match the Dubs. So I have a little few words. Some people probably know it already, but not many, I'd say. So it's stand up for the Mayo men, stand up in your green and red, stand up.
Stand up
for the
Come
Mayo
on.
Men, stand up for the Mayo men, stand up
stand
for the Mayo men, stand up. In your green and red, stand up for the Mayo men, stand up in your green and red. And I'm asking everyone, please, when the team enter the pitch, sing that. It's so simple.
Well, all right, congratulations.
I'm plaguing social media already, and I...
Okay, Noel, you leave it at that. That was really good. Listen. Stop talking.
Sorry.
Listen, actually, who will we give, Mikey? Who are we going to give the prize to for the best question? Connor Mortimer question gets the prize for congratulations and night in the hotel in Dublin night before the match. Good luck.
Oh, Willie.
I can see it still. It's soft and craggy boglands. It's tall, majestic hills where the ocean kisses Ireland. Sure, oh, the feeling it came over me. Stay forevermore, forevermore. From its rolling coastal waters, I can see Kilpatrick's Peak, where one Sunday every summer the pilgrims climbed a reek, where St. Patrick in its solitude looked down across Clubin, and with the ringing of his bell called the faithful there to pray, there to pray. Mm-hmm.
can see it still. It's soft and craggy boglands, it's tall majestic hills, where the ocean kisses Ireland and the waves caress its shore. Oh, the feeling it came over me to stay forevermore, forevermore. Stay
So there you go. Great night in Castlebar. Next Friday night, we're going to have another live show in the Sugar Club in Dublin. Absolute A-list lineup for this one. We have Peter Canavan, we have Kieran McGeaney, we have Paul Galvin, we have Gooch Cooper, we have Jack McCaffrey, among others. So that's going to be a classic. Stay tuned to our Twitter feed and on the website, and we'll be letting you know how to get tickets for that one. All right, see you on Thursday for the regular analysis show.
Finished yet, it took me a long time to get here.
Both players have spoken with each other and they regret what happened. They've had a frank discussion with each other, and they're both of them are keen to now focus on getting back their county jerseys.
That these fellas will get such a f***ing shell shock next Saturday evening that we put them back in their f***ing asses for f***ing 10 years.
The GAA Hour with Colin Parkinson is sponsored by AIB, proudly backing club and county.